Welcome to the Procreative Teaching Ministry of Reverend Charles Jibuno, the lead pastor of the Refiners Church. It is his vision to raise a generation of proof producers with an aim to reach the world with the power of God, one person at a time.
There were things we were taught, ideals we held on to that are not common today. Praise the Lord. Sure, there was a scripture I was reading, very common scripture, but the Holy Spirit ministered to me from there. I think I read two verses, closed my Bible, and started crying out to God. Hello? Because what it made me realize is that we no longer have voices. We no longer have voices. We no longer have men who speak for God. They speak the word, they teach the Bible, but the voice of God is missing from their teachings. We have more motivational speakers. Amen. More hypers. People who would hype you, who will placate you, who will tell you you can make it. But God's voice is scarce. And the Bible says in Amos 8:11 that there is coming a famine on the land. But this famine will not be the famine of bread and water. It will be the famine of hearing the voice of God. You see, ideally, when the word of God is preached to you, you are supposed to hear God's voice from inside it. That's what the Bible means by the word of the Lord. There is a difference between the word of God and the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is prophetic. The word of God can just be logos without rhema in it. So I found myself crying out to God. In short, I was so tired before then, but when I saw that scripture, sleepless. I couldn't sleep again. And crying out to God that I will not be an echo. You know, echoes say what others say. And I will not be in ministry to make people happy. I will say what he wants to say part time. So, what brought that up is that there are some misconceptions. Amen. For example, deliverance. Amen. Yeah. Even the power of God, miracles. This day we find people beginning to deny the reality of miracles. We are becoming more humanistic than ever. So I want to talk to you about the anointing and give you at least a working or a basic understanding of the anointing. So Psalm 89 verse 20, and then we'll round up with anointing with oil. Are we good? So Psalm 89 verse number 20. Father, anoint my lips of clay, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Enable me to speak your word. Give me a mouth and a wisdom like you promised, such that the adversary cannot refute nor gainsay. Give me simplicity of words, the anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy, so that I can communicate complex truths in the most simplistic fashion. But most importantly, let me not just speak to the understanding of men, but help me to speak to their spirits. For the Bible says the things which we preach are spiritually discerned, that the natural man cannot comprehend them. So help me communicate spirit to spirit. Thank you, Father, for an understanding heart. In the name of Jesus. Somebody says amen. Amen. So what does the Bible say? Psalm 89 verse 20. It says, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. My prayer is that you be found in the name of Jesus. May God find you today qualified or fit for his holy oil in the name of Jesus. So let's begin with what the anointing is, okay? Praise the Lord. We talk about the anointing, we talk about the anointing. What really is the anointed? I see flyers, they say anointed men of God. Amen. Amen. And you know, interestingly, 9 out of 10 times, those men are not even anointed. So what is the anointing? Praise the Lord. Like I would normally say, the anointing is not the oil. I want to start from there. The anointing is not the oil. Neither is the oil the anointing. But the anointing can be in the oil. Do you understand that statement? Praise the Lord. So having a bottle of oil that is called anointing oil does not mean that is the anointing. Amen. But that bottle can carry the anointing. So let me say straight away, oil can serve as a vector, a carrier of the anointing. But it is not the anointing. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So the anointing can be contained in oil, but it's not the anointing. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now listen, Jesus, please hear me, Jesus is the ultimate example of what it means to be anointed and to carry the anointing. Praise the Lord. Apart from being the author and the finisher of our faith, he is the anointed. You see, when we say Jesus Christ, right? Or Jesus the Christ. Now, that name Christ, or the title the Christ, is the Greek word Christos, which means anointed one. So we say Jesus Christ, we are saying Jesus the anointed. So you can't understand the anointing apart from the person of Christ. So how was Jesus anointed will give you an idea of what the anointing really is. He is the fulfillment of all anointings. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So Jesus was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit and power. So the anointing is, listen to this, the power and person of the Holy Spirit working through an individual. Amen. The anointing is what? The power and the person of the Holy Spirit working through an individual, or working on behalf of an individual. Praise the Lord. Jesus was anointed first with the person of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember I talked about, was it here? Okay, it was on Wednesday. I was talking about meeting the person of the Holy Spirit. When I encountered the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can be anointed with power and not have the person of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. It's a person. Jesus was anointed with first the person of the Holy Spirit and second the power of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? So the anointing is what? The person and the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting through an individual. Are we good? So having defined that, let's move on. Okay? The anointing manifests on different fronts. Or let's say there are different expressions of the anointing. There's what we call an individual anointing, and there's what we call a corporate anointing. The corporate anointing is usually much, much larger. You see, I need to go into these details, amen, so that one statement cannot knock you off the benefits of the anointing. Praise the Lord. You know, Apostle says, you don't need to be chasing anointing up and down. You have the anointing, right? So I need to break that down. Praise the Lord. That is what we call a corporate anointing, and that's what we call an individual anointing. A corporate anointing, for example, if I'm ministering under the anointing now, it's not just my anointing at work, but it's a corporate anointing. It's a collective anointing because of everyone who is present. And that's why, listen to me, it's dangerous. You are in a meeting, they give a word of knowledge concerning your case, you sit down. You see, I'll go and see the man of God later. Hello. When the word of knowledge was given, what was at work? The corporate anointing is by far more powerful than any individual anointing. When you see Chris Oyakhilome ministering in a healing service, Benny Hinn ministering in a healing service, Baba Deboye ministering in a healing service, hello, what's his name? Jerry Eze in his prayer service. What is working there is a corporate anointing. It's not his own anointing. Hello? It's a collective anointing. So he's able to do much good. I'm saying this because a lot of people don't know this. Amen. It's easier for me to minister healing to you under a corporate anointing than under an individual anointing. No matter how anointed I am, when I come under a corporate setting, the anointing multiplies. It explodes. And that anointing takes into consideration every single individual in that meeting. So if there are 50 people here, the anointing is that strong. If there are 10,000, the anointing is that strong. It grows more, grows stronger by the number of people in that meeting. No pastor can claim it as his own. Is that understood? And that's what we call the individual anointing. That is the anointing you carry. Are we good? Is that understood? Now, when it comes to the individual anointing, hello, there are also two dimensions. What did I say? There are two dimensions or two expressions. Praise the Lord. There is the anointing within you. And that's what Apostle was talking about. There is what? The anointing within you. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you will know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides where? In you. Amen. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So every child of God has an anointing. Amen. It comes with salvation. So you're anointed. But you need to know, you need to understand the boundaries of this anointing. You need to understand how this anointing works. Amen. So for example, in a corporate setting is a combination of all the anointings that commands results. Okay? Is that understood? So there's the anointing within, and then there's what? The anointing upon you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And you shall receive power after or when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, walk with me. Amen. The functions or the operations of these anointings are different. Let me put it another way. What the anointing within can do is different from what the anointing upon you can do. You can have the anointing within you and still not be able to do some things. And that's why I needed to make clarity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their functions are different. I will show you. So, the anointing within does what? It gives you supernatural wisdom. You see, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you will know all things. You see, you will not need anyone to teach you, for you shall know all things, That anointing will teach you. That anointing is what saves you from false doctrine. That anointing is what enables you to understand the word of God, to know the mind of God, to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the anointing you have received that is within you empowers you to what? To know. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the anointing upon you empowers you for exploits, but the anointing within you gives you divine wisdom. So you can have the anointing within you and not have power. He said you receive power after it has come upon you. And if you are a student of the scriptures, you will discover the anointing upon was what every prophet, every miracle worker in the Bible used. The hand of the Lord was upon. Amen. So power comes when the anointing is upon you. Amen. So you must not mistake it. Are we together? Now, the level of the anointing upon you has to do with your spiritual responsibility. So one person's anointing upon him just enables him to speak in tongues. One other person's own enables him to raise the dead. Am I communicating? The anointing upon a man who is pastoring 50,000 by reason of his responsibility will definitely be higher than the one who has 5. Because it's an unction to function. Am I communicating? So don't get it wrong that because you have the anointing within you, you don't need the anointing upon you. Are we together? Don't get into pride. So there's an anointing for every believer, but there's an anointing that comes with office. The anointing of the prophet is different from the anointing of the apostle. Are we together? Is that understood? Praise the Lord. So power only comes with the anointing upon you, not within you. Luke 1:35. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." So why one is within, the other one is upon. After you've received the anointing within you, you need it upon you. Maybe I should say this also. Listen to me. There are three levels of relationship that a person has with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit operates at three levels in the life of a believer. There's the Holy Spirit with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you, but he's not in you. Neither is upon you. You can't give your life to Christ without the Holy Spirit. He said, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit with you is the one who leads you to salvation. While you are not a believer, the Holy Spirit was around you, working on you to bring you to salvation. If you backslide, the Holy Spirit is with you. You know, people said, he will never leave me nor forsake you. Yes, but he's not inside you. Now, when you give your life to Christ, he comes inside you. He now becomes the Holy Spirit within you. Then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you. And the more you are brought, you know, you grow spiritually into greater responsibilities, he comes upon you. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Is that understood? Can I move on now? Amen. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 10 verse 38. So what does it say? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Look at that. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? Now, by saying anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, it implies a man can be anointed with something other than the Holy Spirit and power. Are you with me? Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, if that's all a person could be that can be anointed with, there will be no need for specifics. Talk to me. So he says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and what? With power. So it's possible to be anointed with something other than the Holy Spirit and power. Our text tells us that David was anointed with oil. God said, I have found my servant David, with my holy oil have I anointed him. So while Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power by God, the same God anointed David with what? Oil. So I want to talk to you a bit about the anointing oil and anointing with oil, because this is one area of controversy. Amen. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Bible scholars will tell you that when you truly want to understand a thing, when you truly want to know the exact purpose of a thing in Scripture, you apply what is called the principle of first mention. I've talked about it repeatedly. What's the principle of first mention? You go to where it is first mentioned in the Bible. And usually where it's first mentioned, you will see what God intended. Are we together? So applying that principle of first mention, the anointing oil is first talked about in Exodus chapter 30, praise the Lord, Exodus 30, from verse 31 to 38. So let's read that quickly, Exodus 30, 31 to 38. You see, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil. Now, what did God say about David? I have found my servant David, with my holy oil I have anointed him. So not all oil is holy. Amen. So he said, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. Yes, 32. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. According to its composition, it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Next verse, please. Whoever compounds anything like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet, so he gives him the composition of the oil. Praise the Lord. Now, some people still compose this. In short, when it comes to ordinations, the oil they use for ordination is different. Praise the Lord. Amen. I still have my own. When I was ordained reverend, my father-in-law gave me the oil he used. And many had a sweet perfume. I've kept it in my holy of holies. I won't give any of you. When I want to ordain, I will use it. Are we together? So, he talks about the composition, which I don't want to go into because of time. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, let's see what we can learn from this. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the issue we are faced with, I hear people say things like this, that the anointing oil is an Old Testament relic. You know, you say something is a relic, it has expired. Something that should have died with the Old Covenant. There are pastors who get up and they just preach the lamp that no, nobody should anoint you with oil and all that. Amen. They tell you it's an Old Testament thing. It has no place in the New Testament. One preacher said it was used symbolically to represent the Holy Spirit. And now that we have the reality of things, it should not be used. Amen. Am I communicating? There's something we refer to as types and shadows. Amen. If you've gone through Bible studies, amen, say type and shadows. That means something in the Old Testament that is a reflection of something that will be fulfilled in the New Testament. For example, Isaac is called a type of Christ. This, the way he willingly gave up himself to be sacrificed by Abraham, he speaks of how Jesus willingly give his life for us. Amen. So Isaac is called a type in the Bible, in Bible studies. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant is a type of Christ. Praise the Lord. I should not bore you with Bible school stuff. Amen. Well, let me just break that down now. The Ark of the Covenant was built with acacia wood or shittim wood. Amen. And was overlaid, was God asked that they should overlay it with gold on the inside and on the outside. And then the Ten Commandments was to be put in there. Manna was to be put in there. On top of the lid, you need to have a mercy seat with cherubim and all that. Now, when you read, the Bible says, God said, I will meet you, speak to you from the top of the mercy seat. Now, the ark, I said, is a type of Christ. Wood is typologically used for flesh. Amen. Flesh. Wood refers to flesh. Okay? Acacia wood is the only wood that does not decay. It doesn't decay. Put it in the ground, it will never decay. It was the same wood that Noah used to build his ark. Praise the Lord. He said, you not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus' flesh does not decay. You know, if Jesus did not rise and take his body to heaven, would have been going to the museum to look at him. Because he will never have decayed. You're looking at me. He won't decay. Dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. That's for all of us. But for him, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So Jesus' body can decay. So shittim represents his incorruptible flesh. Gold speaks of divinity. Amen. So he was God and man mixed in one. Then he is the living word. The Ten Commandments into it. It's the word of God. And the manna, the revelation of God's word. Mercy seat, he is the propitiation for our sins. And then through him, we have access to God. So that whole Ark of the Covenant was designed to speak of one person, Jesus Christ. Why don't we use the Ark today? The Ark was a type, a shadow of things to come. And that things to come is in the person of Jesus. So it's no longer realistic now that we have seen the real thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the argument that we shouldn't use olive oil, anointing oil, because it was supposed to be a type of the person of the Holy Spirit. And since we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, it is wrong to use oil. That's the argument. But we will look at what the scripture says. Are we together? Praise the Lord. I hope I'm not losing anybody. Amen. So, now, when I look through the scriptures, I discovered that the anointing oil was not used symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Rather, it was used to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Quickly, 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And what? And what? Came upon him. From that day, So if the oil was to represent the Holy Spirit doesn't need to come. Hello? The oil was to usher him or usher the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. 1 Samuel chapter 10, give me verse 1 quickly. Quickly. Hallelujah. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" So from verse 2, he begins to tell him the things that will happen having anointed him with oil. Okay? So he says, "You will go from here and you will meet two men at Rachel's tomb at Zelzah going up to God." And he tells him a number of things. Now he gets to verse 6 and he says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And then you will prophesy." When we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what was the first thing that changed? A tongue change. A language change. Says you prophesy and you'll be turned into another man. So the anointing oil was not really used to symbolize the presence of the Holy Spirit, but to what? Usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is someone with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if it was used to symbolize the presence of the Holy Spirit, can we say it has expired? Okay. Now, when you look at what God told Moses, the anointing oil or anointing a person with oil was a divine ordinance. Amen. It was what? A divine ordinance. A sacred ordinance. Don't worry, some people don't learn. They still don't learn. Amen. A sacred ordinance. Hello. Appointed for a select group of people. You're under the Old Testament, only three classes of people could be anointed with oil. First of all, the priests. Much later, the kings. And eventually, the prophets. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "You are a chosen generation." What? "A royal priesthood, a holy nation." Amen. Revelations 5 verse 9 and 10 says Christ has redeemed us out of every tribe, tongue, and people that we might become what? A kingdom of priests. Give me 1 Peter 2 verse 9, the Passion Translation. First Peter 2, 9, Passion Translation. "But you are God's chosen treasure." Yes? Come on, walk with me. Yes? Priest? Priest? So if you are a priest and a king, should you be anointed with oil? Because he said, "Let it be a statute forever for these people who are priests and who are kings." The prophets came much later. Hallelujah. So I believe that if we are a kingdom of priests and kings, then our head should carry oil. Am I communicating? Now, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. The Bible telling us about the disciples or the 12 apostles of Jesus who had been sent out by Jesus to go and preach the gospel. Amen. In verse 12 he says, so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Whoa. Now I'm a student of the scriptures. When I check my Bible, nobody ever anointed a commoner with oil. As a matter of fact, it was only Jesus' disciples. Did Elijah anoint anybody with oil? Elisha? Huh? Malachi? Jeremiah? Ezekiel? But Jesus now comes on the scene. Even though we are not told directly that Jesus anointed people with oil, but we see that his own disciples anointed many with oil. So we see a breakout from the tradition of anointing only a select people and using the anointing as a medium of communicating God's grace, power, and virtue. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So I ask myself, was this a decision of the disciples by themselves? I don't think so. It's one of two things. Either Jesus instructed them, or they had seen Jesus do it. Because if you read verse 8 and 9, Jesus gave them specific instructions. What they were to preach, where they were to go, how they were to conduct themselves, what they can carry with them and not carry with them. So I believe Jesus practiced anointing with oil to heal the sick. The disciples, haven't seen him do the same, did the same. As a matter of fact, I believe he gave them the oil. Hallelujah. James, the half-brother of Jesus, tells us in James chapter 5, verse 14, is anyone sick amongst you? Let them call in the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick man. And if he be in sin, his sin shall be forgiven him. So Jesus, I believe, strongly brought the anointing oil into the contemporary church structure. He brought the anointing oil from being reserved for a select group of people to communicating virtue, communicating God's power and God's grace. Amen. So without a doubt, the anointing oil has a place in the New Testament church. Am I communicating? Do I have your attention? Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's put it in perspective. Amen. Are we good? Glory to God. The anointing within is for wisdom. Right? It brings about supernatural knowledge, supernatural knowing. Amen. And you know, if the Bible says you will know all things, you will know all things. It didn't say some things. That means you can't fail exam again, no? You can't fail again. You've just not, you see, he said something. We are underplaying our supernatural existence. I was listening to Pastor Samuel Demi talk about his school days. And they wrote an exam. You know, engineering exams can be tough. And everybody came out from the exam hall. They were all crying, this exam is hard, this exam is hard. This lecturer finished us. He came and said, the lecturer did not finish me. The exam is not hard. The lecturer did not finish me. As soon as he finished saying that, he went into the bush to go and pray. Amen. And this is his word. These are his words. He said, wait. I am made in the image and likeness of God. I'm a son of God. That means I'm like God. So he says, wait, can God write exam and fail? Say, no, God can't write exam and fail. So I can't write exam and fail. So he said he got into the bush and he just started praying. And he commanded the lecturer to pass, come here. Manifest now. And he said, he told the lecturer, of course, I don't know if he appeared, but he said, I'm a child of God. You can't mark God and fail God. So you cannot mark me and fail. He's the only one that passed the exam. Every other person failed the exam. Why? He leveraged upon his supernatural abilities. He says, listen, he said, Daniel was preferred above all the satraps and the governors because what? An excellent spirit was in him. I don't have time to tell you about the spirit of excellence, but I know there are times I've gone to universities, I've gone to schools, I've ministered to them the spirit of excellence, and everybody passes the exam. Should I had one in NIFES, University of Abuja, some years ago. First semester exam. I was invited. After ministry to them, I told them God wanted to impart the spirit of excellence. And the meeting happened. When they were to write second semester exam, they invited me again. I don't mind these people. They invited me. By this time, the hall was jam-packed. Overflowing. Why? Because these students became A students. You can't carry the spirit of God and your brain not work. You don't know what you carry. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That is the anointing within. He said, you have the mind of Christ. So in the name of Jesus, every brain that is not working well, I command it to begin to function well. In the name of Jesus. You can't have the mind of Christ and behave like a dunce. So the anointing within gives supernatural wisdom, right? The anointing upon you does what? Power for exploits. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse lepers. So what does the anointing with oil do? Why do I need to be anointed with oil? I will tell you. You sure you want to hear? Are you ready for this? Anointing a person with oil moves him up levels. It grants you the ability to function above and beyond your present capacity. And that's why, listen, I'll give you the scripture shortly. That's why when they want to bring a king into office, they anoint him with oil. When they want to bring a prophet into office, they anoint him with oil. They want to bring a priest into office, they anoint him with oil. Because you see, in that office, he needs to be able to operate higher than his normal capacity. You want to make a man a pastor, you anoint him with oil. You want to move him from pastor to bishop, you anoint him with oil. Why? Because anointing with oil lifts you above your present level. I'm trusting God you are moving up. Amen. Oh, you are moving up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 92 verse 10. Let's go there quickly. Psalm 92 verse 10. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. He says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Horn that talks about authority. Please give me amplified. EMP. Leave out the sea. Glory to God in the highest. Tell somebody levels are changing. Say it like you mean it. Now look at I say, but my horn, my emblem of strength and power. I think it's the classic edition that says, my emblem of strength and stately authority. So he says, my emblem of strength and power, you have exalted like that of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil for your service. Amen. So the anointing upon you comes to give you additional capacity. It comes to give you capacity for new levels. Amen. So when he says fresh oil, anytime God wants to move you up, he brings oil. Amen. He brings it fresh. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So they are all needed in the life of the New Testament believer. Amen. Is there somebody who is looking to go up? Is there somebody who is moving up? Then you'll be anointed with fresh oil. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, my horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. He says, because I've been anointed with fresh oil. You are moving up. I see you are moving up. You are going higher. In the name of Jesus. The level you are currently will be the least you ever know. Something is coming upon you that will force you up. You're not with me. I say moving you up. In the name of Jesus. Now you might be finding that difficult to believe. Listen, David, a 16-year-old, rejected, denied by his parents. As a matter of fact, when they say bring your sons, they didn't bring David. He was a bastard in the bush. But when the oil touched him, his life changed. His life changed. His life changed. That anointing, he said the Spirit of God came upon him with power from that day forward. It was that anointing that came upon him that enabled him to handle Goliath that Saul could not touch. That the whole of Israel could not handle. I prophesy to someone under the sound of my voice, something is coming upon you. It will enable you to provide solutions that will mark your lifting. In the name of Jesus. Saul was a nobody. Other than he was taller than everybody in Israel, he had nothing on his resume. Samuel said, or God said to Samuel, through Samuel, he said, when you were little in your eyes, did that not anoint you? The anointing took Saul, a nobody who lost asses. You can lose pin, maybe button, but to lose donkeys and not be able to sit, that's carelessness of the highest order. But the anointing came upon him and changed his status. He said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be commander over his inheritance? I announced to somebody, you are walking out of here a commander. In the name of Jesus. You will command resources and they will flow to you. You command situations and they will answer to you. Where you are struggling, you become the chief over all those things. In the name of Jesus. So anointing with oil does what? It propels you to higher heights. It propels you to higher heights. Amen. Let me give you a little testimony. Praise the Lord. About 5 years ago, my title changed. And I'll tell you why it changed. It's not about title stuff. I started my ministry in the RCCG. I was ordained assistant pastor and ordained full pastor in the Redeemed. And when God asked me to move on, the truth is, behind your ID card and your ordination certificate, it is written here. It is written that when you are leaving the ministry, you drop it. And let me tell you the truth. If you are ordained, you redeem. The day you leave redeem, you have no ordination. If you are ordained in living faith, the day you leave there, you have no ordination. Because you are not ordained to the body of Christ. You are ordained to that church. So I was ordained a pastor in Redeemed. The day I left Redeemed, I stopped being a pastor. As a matter of fact, I changed my title. to evangelist, because that's what I was doing. I started answering pastor when I had to pastor a church. Is someone with me? Mm-hmm. Stop carrying title from one church to another church. Hello? I just need to be honest. If you're a deacon in Assemblies of God, the day you leave Assemblies, drop your deaconship there. You are not a deacon. They ordained you to that church, not to the body of Christ. There are people who are ordained to the body of Christ. So I said to my father in the Lord, I said, look, Baba Debo, you ordained me. I've left that mission. I need you to commission me. I need to drop that. Okay? I said, oh, that's true. So we had been planning it. From the time I was in itinerant work, he said, get an office, write to your former pastors, your former boss in the Redeem, invite all of them so it's not done in secret, and I will ordain you and commission you in front of all of them. I said, yes, sir. But we never got to do it. Then we started the church work. So I went back to him and I said, sir, this thing is still on my mind. I need you to release me into the apostolic commission God gave me. I don't want to be on my own. Because the moment I left there, I'm now on my own. So the question he asked is, have you finished your building? And I answered yes by faith. The rest is story. So he came and he ordained me. Did we tell him what title? So when he finished, he was one of his pastors had turned to him, what is the title? And they said, okay, Reverend Charles, get up. That's how I became Reverend. Amen. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you that story. So that happened. Then within a short time, I noticed certain things. I'm on my own minding my business. And pastors are coming to me and say, sir, want to be your sons, want to submit to you. And I'm saying, not be person with the waka, the carry person. I still learn to waka now. He was just coming. So I went to God. I said, I don't understand this. Because if you come, I'll tell you, let me go and pray. They are sons and they are sons. And you know what God said to me? He said, why do you think your father in the Lord ordained you reverend? Why didn't he say pastor? I said, I don't know. He said, because he appointed you a pastor over pastors. Hello? He didn't tell me that, but he anointed me. And even though I didn't know it, he began to. So some people say, ah, these are daddy's children. That's how they came. So one will come, you go and drag the other one. I found a father. Why did I tell that story? You can't be anointed with oil and remain at the same level. Am I communicating? So even before I knew, my own level changed. And from that day till now, God began to bring me into new relationships. Hello? I began to meet bigger people. People I looked up to. I was now relating to them as contemporaries. I told that some of them, I said, look, do you realize our relationships are changing? He began connecting me with weighty pastors. Let me put it that way. Some of them have come here. It is from that time that that shift began to take place. The people we had tried to reach before, we couldn't reach them. From that time, they're the ones even looking for us. gone to conferences and some of these people that were seriously trusting God that we will get to meet, that we had even tried to invite. Hello? And they told us, oh, they can't come. Some say, we don't know you. And now go to conferences. They have not met us in face. And they walk up to me. How are you, sir? And we exchange numbers. And they have come here. Something is going to happen in your life. Something is going to happen in your life. A shift is going to take place. A lifting is going to take place. Come and rise to your feet. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Now listen to me quickly. If you're not born again, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, oil may touch your head, but the real anointing will not come on you. He said, it shall not be put on common flesh, on ordinary flesh. And under the New Testament dispensation, we have decoded it to be, you must be born again. Because only born again believers fall into the category of what? Priests. Hallelujah. So please, you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have not given your heart to Jesus. I don't want you to miss this opportunity. It is my desire that every month God will take you to a higher level. Amen. So you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not yet born again, and you want to give your heart to Jesus, just raise your hand wherever you are. Raise your hand wherever you are so that we can pray together. Okay. Now I want you to talk to God. Where do you want that lifting? Which area of your life do you want God to move you up? I want you to start talking to Him.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you were blessed. For inquiries, please reach us on our helpline 090-4822-4137. We are located at SCC Road, adjacent Detims Plaza, Ushafa, Abuja.